Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, and welcome to Read You Later, a fun and captivating show that discusses the best in literature, entertainment, and community. And tonight, before I begin my show, I want to give my condolences to Monica Matthew Stowe's family. Monica was not a stranger to this show. She was known not only for her great literary work, but her well-spoken words. She was known for her great spirit and how she was able to connect with not just readers, but other authors. She was well-loved, well-respected in the literary community. And I want to start off tonight by giving my condolences to her family and her friends and her fellow scribes. As I stated earlier, she was well-respected in the literary community. Therefore, she also was well-received by other authors. And she collaborated a lot with other people. So we would like to give our condolences to her, to her family members, and anyone else. Tonight we're going to talk about different subjects. Mental health, if you've been on the news this morning or this afternoon, I know that you've seen things and heard things about what's going on, such as with Kate Spann. I know that a lot of people, I saw people make statements like, can't say a lot, I'm going to take that back, but I saw statements like money and wealth and da-da-da-da. But when you're dealing with mental illness and you're dealing with clinical depression, money is not a factor. Fame is not a factor. Mental illness is real. And I think sometimes we associate being wealthy and being famous as a way that will prevent people or people who have mental illness can't be clinical depressed. And that is such a fallacy. And it's something that we need to, especially in the African-American community and communities of color, we need to make sure that we are not buying into that. And when we see our brothers and our sisters struggling with certain issues, that we, hey, brother, are you okay? Sister, are you okay? My good friend Nakia Sharit has a short story, Sis, Are You Okay? And we need to do that more often. And it's not by accident or incident that this morning that one of my Facebook post was, you know, spread love, share love. And it was something that was dealing with my heart. And a lot of times when people are going through mental illness or clinical depression, we're not aware. We're not aware. And of course, a lot of times we're not attuned to what's going on. A lot of times we perceive a person being successful or being forthright or being commanding in various platforms that we assume that they are okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're okay. People mask in so many different ways, and we need to make sure that we are aware of that and that we come together not only as a community, as a sisterhood, as a church, but an entire community, and to make sure that we are okay, our brothers okay, our sisters okay, because we are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. And so I just wanted to say that because it's really dwelling on my heart. And once again, my heart goes out to Monica Matthew Stowe's family and her friends, her fellow scribes, and Kate Spade, and just anyone else who has suffered a loss. But please, 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 especially people of color, if you know someone who perhaps is acting a little differently or someone who has expressed that they don't know how they feel or they feel depressed or they feel very tired, you know that they have maybe changed some of their norms, please extend your hand to them. ask some brother, sister, if you're okay. Do you want me to go with you to seek help? Please do that. Please do that today. First, we have our guest. He is a newbie to Read You Later, and a lot of people were talking about how excited they are for him to come on, and we're going to get into this segment. So I would like to welcome to Read You Later, Pastor Andre Chappelle Sr. Welcome to Read You Later.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Now, I have been on your website, and I tell you, you have a lot of books that hit home, and I think that they speak to a lot of different people. This afternoon when I got off work, I saw that my flyer was shared quite a few times between yesterday and today, and people even called me or inboxed me and texted me and saying they were looking forward to the show tonight, just dealing with that topic, the apology. And, you know, often, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be transparent, moment. Often when people apologize, sometimes we have a problem. We have problems dealing with it because we're not ready for that closure or we don't know how to react. So tonight we're going to talk about your book, and we're going to talk about the depths of what you feel in cases, all of that. So before I begin, I always think it's best for the author or the project manager to come on and tell the title of the book and why you chose that title. So can you share with my audience the title of your book?
Well, again, the book is called The Apology, and it's really the closure every woman needs and oftentimes are looking for.
Ooh.
To move forward. Yeah, the closure. That's really the nucleus of this particular book, is really trying to give the women an on-road or an on-ramp to the freeway of forgiveness, if I can say that. A lot of times, you know, women move forward, but, you know, there's still that door open. There's still that pain open. There's still that regret that is open. And so a lot of times they carry on and move on with life, and many times it's just a sore spot there. And a lot of times that can trickle into a new relationship. And so from personal experience, the thing that really drew me and drove me to do this was losing, I'm a pastor, to be very transparent with you. I don't know how much you really know of me, but I'm a very transparent pastor. I preach every Sunday, anointed, lay hands on sick, see them recover. But at the same token, for most of my life and even my ministry, you ready for this?
I'm a serial cheater. I'm sitting down.
I was a serial cheater.
Okay.
Very serial. I cheated at a serial killer rate. Going through this whole, had a whole epiphany and pursuit to really go after life from a different place and pursue love from a different lens. One of the things that I've never done before was apologize to the women that I hurt. And that's what the apology is really all about. But it's not just the apology to the woman I've hurt, but a lot of women will never receive the apology from the man that hurt them. But I put myself out there on the line to be a surrogate, to give an apology to a woman if she can receive the book and accept the words that are in the book that are powerful. She'll get what she needs to get the closure.
Now, do you feel in your previous dating habits, do you feel that the women that you dated, that you felt that they had holes, they have gaps in that baggage, they continue to bring the baggage from relationship to in relationship, and how in turn did that impact your relationship and that view and your view of them?
If I understand the question correctly, I absolutely do. I think that, if we just be real about it, most women have been broken by a man. And sometimes, and I deal with this in the book, it doesn't have to be the man you've dated. But,
exactly.
You know, a lot of times there's a brokenness. And I talk about it. One of the things I like to say is sometimes that brokenness is not to leave a woman broke, but a lot of times she's puzzle pieces from what she's been through. And the right man sometimes just has the responsibility of putting it back together.
Wow. And I also feel like when you were saying it doesn't have to be from that relationship, I think it also doesn't have to be from an intimate relationship, say, for instance, from a male and female relationship, but it also can be from a relationship from a father, an uncle,
yes.
Those broken promises,
yes.
Those visits that never occurred, that pony ride, missing graduations, all
Come
those
on.
Pieces that they're trying to mask. And you're trying to graduate, you're trying to be the superwoman, then you end up being like the super wife, the super mama, the super daughter, the super auntie. You're all these things, but as you said, and inwardly, you're just broken pieces. You're just broken pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for so long, we as women, we have been taught and trained to, girl, just go on. Or as my grandma would say, gal, just go on about your business. Just going about your business. And saying that, what she meant in her southern euphemisms is that, okay, just go on about your business. It don't make no difference. You just go about your business. And
mm-hmm.
that's what we do day to day. But when you come across a man as yourself, as you were saying, and you were like, uh-uh, boo, we're going to stop this today. That mirror, oh, honey, that's an ugly sister looking back at you when you do that. Because you're not ready sometimes to get all that, to obtain all that. So in your book, I'm sure, like, what are the steps, not to give away too much, for people to purchase the book? And what's the title of your book once again?
It's called The Apology. And just as you said,
The Apology.
You know, sometimes The Apology. And I literally, in the book, one of the things that I do is I address that because my oldest daughter, I was not there for until she was 17. And literally had to deal with an apology to her. I literally wrote letters, one letter to the woman whose father was not there. He wasn't there to put her up on game about dating and what to expect from a man and how to carry yourself and, you know, all of that kind of thing. Missing those like you said, those recitals and, you know, those events. There's a letter, a love letter to her. This book is really just love letters, to be honest with you, at the end of the day, to try to bring that healing that's important. It could be a brother. It could have been, you know, that just didn't cover you, wasn't there, wasn't supportive, a cousin, an uncle, you know. I think every woman just has those different experiences that they need to hear the words, I apologize.
Now, do you feel or do you think that it's a difference from a woman to hear an apology from a male stance versus a sister or her mother or a close friend doing that for her, even though perhaps they may not have been the one who had impaired her heart or impaired her mentally? But do you think it's a difference from a male standpoint, the apology coming from a male versus a female? And if so, why?
I definitely think that it makes a huge difference because, you know, a lot of times it's about symbols. And sometimes, you know, the male is a symbol to a female's life, to her development, to
exactly.
to her evolving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little girl, dad is supposed to be her first love. And if she misses that moment, she ends up, you know, finding love in a guy. And if he's the wrong guy and he hurts her, that hurt becomes a strong symbol of what a man represents to her, you know. And so I think it's very important that they get that apology, because at the end of the day, the purpose of the apology is to invite the woman into a place of forgiveness, you know. And that's
wow.
a process,
awesome.
Of course, because, you know, we all know that forgiveness is not for who hurt you. But forgiveness
for
gives you the opportunity to drop the charges on the man
yes.
that hurt you. You know, forgiveness is dropping
and
the charges.
You
exonerate them. Yeah, you don't want to keep on carrying that on your heart,
life.
On your shoulders, in your
exactly.
mind. You know, it's a weight that's unnecessary, and it'll slow you down from moving forward. Nobody runs with dumbbells in their hand. Dumbbells in their hand. You want to drop those dumbbells,
true.
And so you can run free.
True.
You want to run free.
And also, it also hinders you and it blinds you to what's around
you.
You know, sometimes you're not able to see the good and the blessings that are in front of you and beside you, because you're still carrying all of that baggage and all of that hurt inside. Then not only is that like in the spiritual, or I say like a circular realm, but a spiritual realm, because you're not able to get all of what God has for you and the love that God has for you, because you're still carrying all that baggage and hurt people, rather than the pulpit,
rather than the dance ministry,
in the usher ministry,
ooh,
the parking lot ministry, you know, whatever it is, and you be like, oh, Lord, honey, woo, Lord, we need Jesus, we all do, but you know, sometimes you really, really feel that. I do have a caller, 336, caller from 336 area code.
Mm-hmm.
You're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing? So
awesome.
I love how you said the forgiveness is essentially dropping the charges against someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that in my life I've been the it really is like bringing charges against somebody, but I love that analogy of it, you know, really making it that simple. And I also love that, you know, we really have to make that choice of, you know, do I hold on to this? Do I keep this?
Right.
Or you know, do I let it go? And can you talk about a little bit of that letting go process?
Absolutely. One of the weapons of mass destruction to progress is to walk around with the spirit of offense. You know, where somebody has offended you, you know, the enemy would have it where you are locked in that offense. And many times they're gone on with their life. They're remarried. They got kids, you know, and you over here in your feelings,
exactly.
And they don't even know your name no more. They forgot they was ever with you. But you're locked into that moment, you know, and when you won't let go, when you won't let go, you're making a choice, consciously or unconsciously, to hold on to the past, to hold on to the past. Life, what we are today is literally the result of the decisions and choices we make. And if we make that choice to hold on to where we were offended, we lock ourselves in prison forever.
Awesome. That's an awesome message.
That's good.
You need some water for that one.
That
spirit of offense is dangerous. And what the apology is, what the apology does is hopefully it'll become something that'll influence a person. It'll give you the influence to really process it and say, hey, you know, I gotta let this go. I gotta let what happened go. And you know, my whole mission of my life ultimately is summed up in three words: make love matter. That's what I'm on. I'm on Love Matters. That's my movement.
Awesome.
Love Matters. And there's a lot of, I really still believe in love. You know what I'm saying? I think that there's some love relationships that can recover, but they can't if a man has not evolved from being an adult male to being a real processed man, he'll never apologize. But when he becomes an adult man, he looks at his life different, and he'll say, I'm sorry, I apologize, I messed up, I blew it, you know, and I'm willing to do what it takes to reconstruct whatever that is. And sometimes you got to reconstruct without him. You just go on and do your life, and somebody else will come in.
And
but you can love again.
The fact that you were able to take ownership and to deliberately, because it was deliberately, go back and free these women. Now, whether or not they're able to receive it, that's on them, but you were able to free them. And that freedom that you afforded them, you know, you're not only saving them, but you're saving their children. And you're reaching out and you're saving communities. Because when you are bound, honey, when you're in BAM, I don't care how much you shout in church, how much you speak in tongues, or you are BAM, honey, you are not
flying. You didn't say that.
You just have that artificial joy. You have that joy between 11 o'clock and 1 o'clock, but once you get in that car, honey, that mask is heavy. Yeah. So that is freedom.
You know what happened to me? Yeah, I one day just said, God, I don't want to do church like this, and people are leaving the same way they really come. I really want to be a generational general.
In Jesus'
and
name.
God told me, he said, you got to, if you want to change the world, you got to change the community. If you change the community, only way you can do that is change the family. And the only way that you can change the family is change the intimate relationship. So when we get back to the intimate relationship, let me apologize in this intimate relationship. So this bitterness, this hurt, this hatred for a man, or you know, it doesn't pass on to the daughters, you know, and that they can grow.
Exactly.
We can build the family healthy. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
And I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna tell you something. Like, I'm an educator, and what I've noticed in the last several years that I saw a trend where the young ladies the guys would go up at times and offer and ask the young ladies to buy them juice or extra snack or extra pizza. And some people wouldn't think anything of it, but I knew that it was a cycle. Then you saw these girls, I'm going to buy you something. And they were doing it in hopes that they would be their boyfriends. And these were trends.
Wow.
And because it's a spirit, because they are seeing this in the community. They're seeing it at home. So they feel that they have to buy a man. And I was like, wow. And some people thought, oh, this child's play. I said, this right here is devil's play. It's already started.
Yeah.
So we need
it ain't child's play. That's
some
grown spirit.
There ain't no child's play. I'm like, boo. This guy. But, you know, they seeing it in a car, and I'm looking at all this stuff spiritual. So that is most definitely the difference. Well, thank you, Kyle, for chiming in. And Cassandra also has a radio show. So, Cassandra, can you tell people about your radio show and when it's going to be back on the air?
Absolutely. So, Fully Persuaded will be back on the air next Monday night at 8 p.m. It is a one-hour power-packed weekly broadcast delivering Christ-centered messages. And I'm so excited.
Wow.
I know that's right.
And I'm so glad to be getting back into doing the thing that I love, and that's
and I'm
present.
Glad for you, sister.
Yes,
All right.
All right.
All right. Thank you. I got a couple people said they do not want me to tap into them, but this person didn't say anything. So I have a call for 678-678. You're on the air. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello? 678. All right. Well, thank you for chiming in. And for people who just chiming in, once again, can you state the title of your book?
Yeah, the book is called The Apology, The Closure Every Woman Needs. Apology, it's a...
Now we talked a lot about forgiveness
apology.
And closure and what you did in order to free yourself. So what can my listeners expect if they order your book? What can they expect, and what will they receive?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to caution you that when you order the book and you get ready to crack the book open, you know, you want to grab your blanket and get your box of Kleenex because the book is going to take you through a whirlwind of emotions. It's going to tap some of them places that you probably have tucked and you probably have buried and open you up to perform a surgery, you know, so that when we stitch you back up by the end of the book, you go on living, you know, your life from a place of freedom. There's some great principles there. You know, we really get into the very details of the hurt that a lot of times that the man causes and the woman experiences. And so really excited about this particular project and what God has done. And I want to invite everybody, you know, to kind of order the book and see what God can do with a few soft pages.
Awesome. Now, how can my listeners connect with you? What are your social media handles? And physically, if you are going to be in an event, how can they connect with you?
Well, I'm always, of course, I'm on Facebook, and, you know, I go live every day relative to love and relationship mostly. And, you know, on Facebook, I'm Andre Chapel. My last name is spelled C-H-Apple, C-H-A-P-P-L-E. And we have a strong presence, of course, on Instagram. And those who are on the West Coast know me for producing plays. We have a new stage play coming July the 7th, called Lady Mama.
Let's talk about your play.
All right, now let's talk about your play.
Yeah.
Has this always been a passion of yours? Do you feel this is just an extension of your ministry?
It absolutely is an extension, something unbeknownst to a lot of people. I really kind of have always, you know, been into kind of entertainment, liking the entertainment, grew up a dancer and trying to, you know, act a little bit. But producing plays was something that I think is a powerful way to get a message across. And I'm a partner, of course, with Daishan Washington, who's an award-winning playwriter in Atlanta.
This is actually the second play. A big friend of this. Yeah, Daishan's a big friend of this broadcast. I think we think a lot of her.
She's incredibly amazing. but she's actually the writer and director of this particular stage play. And she this is our second one. We had another one to go along with my first book that we dropped in last November called Why Can't I Get Married, which was telling every woman why a man won't marry her. You're tired of being the bridesmaid, ready to be the bride. Let me give you the instructions. so we did a play called Why Can't I Get Married? Yeah. And that took Los Angeles. That took L.A. by storm. But Baby Mama, we promise, is going to even top that. Statistics support that nearly 80% of African-American homes are led and ran by a single mother. Men are not in the homes. And I call it an epidemic, you know, from mass proportion, because if you look at statistics, this could be very well the reason why, you know, African-American males are 8% of the population, but 35% of prison. The African-American females, they lead in teenage pregnancy. And so I think if we can deal with that baby mama thing, that it'll create a new regime of love and relationship, at least for the child, at least for the child.
Yeah,
daddy needs to be in
the
life.
You said earlier, love matters. It's all about love, love, love.
Yes.
And even though we may not be together, we need to have a united front, and we need to love our child, and our child needs
love
to
our
see
child.
That.
Yes.
And it's all about love. Yes. It's all about love. And I think that once we understand that, and once we get that notion that, okay, we don't have to be in love, but we can still show love, and we can
show
still
love.
Be
Absolutely.
Love, I think
Absolutely.
That our community will start healing. But I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone.
and this play is a dinner theater, you know, that we're doing.
Awesome.
I actually have a theater. Yeah, we actually have the Amherst City Theater that's putting it on July the 7th, two shows, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And so those are looking for me. You can't miss me on social media.
And how can people purchase tickets? How can people purchase
everything,
tickets?
Everything, my books and the tickets are available at andrechappell.com. Of course, that's andrechappell.com. You'll find tickets to the play, or you can also find The Apology is there. And then, of course, my debut book is there, Why Can't I Get Married?
Well, we'll have to thank you for being a guest.
Thank you so much.
It's like we're on an alien. We're on an alien ship, and we're taking flight. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation, and I hope
awesome.
That people
thank
go
so
out
much.
And purchase your products and stay in
Get
contact.
It. $15.
So please follow him on social media, and I'm sure that he's available for bookings and any other type
absolutely.
Of event. And from my heart to yours, read you later. Once again, I'd like to extend my condolences to Matthew and Monica and Matthew Stowe's family and friends and fellow scribes. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to keep pushing, keep looking forward, and keep shining, baby. Good night.
Keep shining. Good night.